not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, I'm here with two gentlemen. It's going to be a great interview today. We have Sean Dennehy and Don Burke. Greetings, gentlemen. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
We're going to talk about IntelliPedia, and I'm going to use their titles because they're unusual titles here, and I thought it was kind of important my listeners know what their titles are. Sean is an evangelist for IntelliPedia, and Don would be a doyen of technology, I guess, or a doyen of social networking or something like that, a doyen, kind of interesting titles. These two gentlemen are very famous in my world for succeeding with IntelliPedia. And I think many of my listeners are looking at Gov2.0 and the Web2.0 and sharing, and maybe their boss is putting the shoulder to them to come up with some creative ways to share information. And these folks have not only succeeded, but exceeded in a very, very difficult environment, you know? Now, it's one thing to jump in the ocean in Ocean City when it's 85 degrees, quite different to jump into San Francisco Bay when it's 53 degrees. Well, these guys jumped in when it was 43 degrees. It was very difficult. So I want to talk about IntelliPedia today with these gentlemen. But first of all, many of our listeners may be listening and scratching their heads and saying, well, geez, Sean, tell me about your background, how you wound up in this position. Tell us.
Great. Well, my background, John, is that I'm an analyst at the CIA. So we are in charge with writing products for policymakers and for the president. And I was in the Office of Iraq Analysis at the time when I kind of learned about a paper written by one of our colleagues, Cal Andrews, called The Wiki and the Blog. It's available online. And it was an internal competition to look at how we can change the intelligence community in the wake of 9/11. And in the wake of the failure to find WMD in Iraq. And it talked about wikis and blogs, but so everyone thought it was focused on technology, but really what it was about was the culture.
Right.
And that the subtitle, I believe, was towards a complex, adaptive intelligence community. And at the time, I didn't really know much about wikis and blogs, but I went out to the internet and looked at Wikipedia, and what I found was pretty interesting, the ability to capture historical knowledge, which was something that we were struggling with at the CIA, and we continue to struggle with, and the ability to kind of just capture conversations transparently. A lot of those conversations that we would have in the intelligence community would be on phones or via email. Here was a way where we could capture all of those conversations on the web, and I immediately saw its value, went to my management at the time and pitched it, and luckily they had the foresight to kind of say, well, Sean, why don't you take a little time, in addition to your current job, and investigate this a little further.
Nights and weekends for you, how about it?
Right. But that's a lot. That's basically how a lot of the stories of how innovation happens it's something that somebody's passionate about and is allowed to explore.
Both of these guys are pretty humble about their success. They've won awards for IntelliPedia. And maybe, Donnie, talk about your background, how you wound up being in the leading edge or the bleeding edge. Huh?
Sean, as Sean said, he's on the analytics side. I've spent most of my career on the technology side at CIA in a variety of positions. But I also had a background in analysis and analytic tradecraft. And I went from technology to into management and started various analytic programs to help people understand where technology was going, what the technology trends were around the world, et cetera. And in that role, I was eventually asked to do some more studies about the sort of emerging nature of how information was changing. And that led to yet another study, even at a higher level, to kind of say, how do we capture our knowledge? How do we make sure that the stuff that's in email and share drives doesn't just disappear on us? And, you know, we started looking at big programs as traditional in in government, you know, how do we create some big massive program? But I started hearing about these wikis and then the initial wikis that were happening inside the intelligence community through Sean. And I went to my senior managers and said, let's just try to do this organically. Let's just see what we can do. And so I stepped out of management, partnered with Sean at that point, and we just went down to the bottom and just tried to work individually with individual people, individual groups, and just start trying to articulate how we as individuals can work differently. And that's how we tried to sort of leverage the power and the leverage that we had.
About 6 months ago in this studio, I had Jimmy from Wikipedia and talking about wins and successes. And I said, well, give me some government agencies have been successful at this. And he said, Intellipedia is a success and Diplopedia is a success. And now we see all these EDIAs going around. I guess we have DOD's got a Technopedia, the state's got Diplopedia, and now Energy's looking at it too. So it's an idea, obviously, that has been proven to work. And I think that the challenge that you folks had was that you're dealing with a community that is famously resistant to share information. Now, if you look at maybe the Department of State, they want to talk about weather patterns or maybe funding for different programs in Africa and Asia. I mean, that's, you know, it's almost easy information to obtain. Maybe they were consolidating it. But you guys had to come with a crowbar and had to go into people's offices and go, hey, you see this crowbar? Now, we're trying to take and share some of this. So I guess from your perspective, just a mindset was more important than a TCP protocol stack, huh?
We definitely had to reach people from where they were, and we are still encountering that even today, several years after we stood up Intellipedia. We are still kind of challenging people to put their information out at the broadest audience out in Intellipedia. The best way that we accomplished this was really to start small. We started with an acronym list. Which God knows the federal government has enough acronyms. But what that allowed people to do was they could easily go in, add an acronym for their office, add an acronym that they deal with on a regular basis. And it got them past those first a few initial edits, and they didn't feel like they were compromising national security or anything like that. And it got them past what a person who we've met with on the outside calls that wiki pause, that kind of, ooh, I'm not quite sure I really want to make that edit, because it's really going to be, it's going to reflect on me. But if you make those first few edits simple and easy for them to get past that initial reluctance to do that, they can eventually kind of see the power of it, because they immediately get that feedback. They make that edit, and then they save the page, and all of a sudden they see their work out on the web. And that's something that's relatively new for many in our community.
You know, there's a concept out now called reverse mentorship, where youngsters are taking and mentoring the oldsters like me in some of these concepts and trying to not only bring them up to speed, but saying, look, there's a whole world of tools out there we can use. Let's take advantage of the new tools that are out there. What I'm going to do is take a break now. When we come back, what I'd like to direct our attention to is the type of, because I'm a nerd, type of software they're using and why. It's open source. So good, bad, positive, negative, and maybe see what will, okay, how has this success been reflected in other agencies, and what are the best lessons to make and learn from your success and apply it to, who knows, whatever agency happens to be listening. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with two folks who created, maybe originated, architected in something called Intellipedia, which is an interesting social media site at the CIA. And we're talking about maybe my listeners seeking to use Web 2.0 tools, Gov 2.0 tools in their agencies. And I stumbled on a phrase here called reverse mentorship. And this is where youngsters take old folks like me and try to teach them how to use social media. But you've had kind of interesting experience in that there, haven't you?
Yeah, we've actually found, interestingly enough, that a large part of Intellipedia's success, we believe, is not because of young folks coming in, though they play an important role. It's that in the early days, we had found a core group of really mid and long-term career folks, 13s, 14s, and 15s, who had been in a number of jobs, seen how the bureaucracy doesn't really work as well as it could. And they decided to adopt and try this new little experiment called Intellipedia. And as a result, they kind of knew the kind of things they could post. They kind of knew how far they could push. They kind of knew where to go if there were questions that came up. Then, in short, they understood the bureaucracy inside and out. And by doing that, they provided cover and a framework for the new folks who understood the technology, but not necessarily the culture of the bureaucracy. As they gave, that gave them a way, the younger folks, to join in and participate with that sort of support mechanism already there.
It's a nice blend of Sangiovese and Merlot. Kind of a strange blend from northern Italy, but they do that up in Tuscany. Sean, let me ask about the culture here. I mean, a lot of cultural aspects here. So what's happening at the CAA now is that new analysts are brought on board, and they're kind of instructed in how to use social media to advance the agenda, huh?
To some extent, it's not completely integrated into all of our training programs yet, and that's something that we advocate for. But it's pretty much what happens with a lot of technology across any government agency or any large organization is you learn from your colleagues. And if your colleagues are using it, then you kind of come across somebody's shoulder and say, hey, what are you using there? And then they'll say, oh, well, this is Intellipedia, or this is our microblogging pilot called Chirp, or eChirp.
T-E-R-P?
eChirp.
Oh, eChirp.
Chirp. So, and it's very similar to Twitter. We have a blogging capability, a microblogging capability, the wiki, which is Intellipedia. And all of those tools are just kind of an ecosystem that has evolved. And it's still being adopted one by one across the community.
So I think what my listeners should take away from that is that look, these guys are doing this in a very, very secure environment and being successful at it. So if you take and try to learn from them and apply it to an agency that doesn't have as many handcuffs on, it should be at least easier to take some of these best practices. And one practice I'm interested in is the open source software that you chose. Maybe you can address that, Don, of why you stumbled on this open source and why you decided to use this.
Sure. I think open source is an important piece because it allows you to start small, very low cost, very low risk, and to just sort of start building your case study. You mentioned that, you know, we work in a particularly secure environment, which is true, but every organization, big or small, has a raft of things that they consider very sensitive, whether it's intellectual property, whether it's proprietary discussions, whether it's legal issues, et cetera. And we found this everywhere we go, that everyone feels like their information is too important to share. So open source allows you to get something out. You don't have to make a big justification for how it's going to work because it doesn't cost you a lot of money to try. And then you let each individual sort of come to their little epiphany moment as they can, rather than bureaucratically trying to have to justify a big, massive program right out of the door. You can just kind of let it be there and see what kind of use case emerges. How can you sort of segregate the information in your information into different sort of bins? That which is too sensitive to share needs to go in a proprietary database or another proprietary site. Whereas the basic information about how your organization works, how it gets done, the information can be captured in your common tools that are available to the network, and then grow it from there.
Sean, when I had Jimmy Wales in the studio, we talked about, you know, his theory and how he developed Wikipedia and everything else. And he talked about a neutral point of view, and he talked about people being anonymous and changing things. That's not characteristic of Intellipedia, is it? I mean, they want people to put their name on it and generate reputation, and they don't want a neutral point of view. They have a specific point of view. So they take the basic concept and it's modified to fit your agency's requirements.
That is correct, John. We have no anonymous edits. All of the edits are attributable to an individual, so we can track down who made that edit. And a lot of people are using that to build up their reputation in the community. And then as far as the neutral point of view, we've talked about attributable point of view. So you could actually kind of attribute points of view to specific agencies or to a specific organization within agencies, and just get that because the intelligence community, we're a community, but we often have a lot of disagreements amongst ourselves. So we don't want to boil it down to the neutral point of view where we can all get along. We want to see where those disagreements are because we're working on puzzles and mysteries. We're not working with all facts. We're trying to figure out what is the status of the Iran nuclear program. What does the community believe about the next leader of North Korea? Those are issues that don't have a lot of facts, but we have a lot of intelligence that we can base assessments on. So that's why we don't really enforce a neutral point of view.
Don, from the perspective of an enterprise architect, so I'm going to have you put on your enterprise architect hat here. And so you're running the architecture of the CIA, and this crazy guy Sean comes up with this idea, and you go, he's out of his mind. Where is this going to fit in the whole architecture of my organization here? Send this guy packing, you know, have him work at McDonald's next week. He's not going to wreck my house of cards here. But enterprise architects for every agency, this is up front. They got to know what's going on here and how to incorporate it into a safe way to share information, don't they?
Yeah, we often talk about this in the concept of a spectrum of tools. When we talk about enterprise architecture, we usually see, you know, we see things as a large program coming down. So we see big official databases, big official enterprise systems, big official, you know, processes that capture our official information and our official ways of working. But those often don't talk to each other as well as they could or should. And you're left oftentimes with less than optimal enterprise search. We hear about that all the time. Oh. There's enterprise search. How do we do enterprise search? Well, what we see with IntelliPedia and the ecosystem of tools around IntelliPedia is it has enabled better enterprise findability by giving everyday users the ability to add something to the ecosystem of the web that says there's important official information over here, or there's a really good database over here, or did you know you can get to this place using this technique? And so we see this as this spectrum of, you know, of organic to official. And IntelliPedia fills a niche that had never existed in the intelligence community before. And I would argue really never existed inside of enterprises before, which was an informal, unofficial way for people to connect other official information together.
Connecting the dots, which was probably the objective in the beginning. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking to Sean Dennehy and Don Burke. These are the folks who were integral in the adoption of IntelliPedia in many different aspects of the intelligence community. And I'm trying to get that correct because I think I misspoke. I think you talked about the CIA. Maybe you can clarify that for our listeners.
Yes, John. Again, our titles kind of speak for themselves, Evangelist and Doyen. We're not the developers. We're not the creators of IntelliPedia or any of these tools. The tools are actually provided by a small organization that provides tools to the entire intelligence community. The organization is called IntelliLink. Mm-hmm. It's been around since 1994. And not only do they provide these tools to the intelligence community, they pretty much provide it to the entire national security enterprise. They deploy these tools on three networks, a top secret network, a secret network, and then an unclassified network that's behind a firewall. So those are the folks that are kind of behind the scenes with the servers and everything else that are actually providing the tools. Don and I are just advocates for the tools.
Great. Don, there may be people who are listening who want to set up a wiki in their own bureau or their agency. Are there areas or places to go, maybe some suggested books, something like that?
Yeah, we've been fortunate to have a relationship with three authors that have captured some of our lessons learned. There's Andrew McAfee of Harvard, MIT now, and he's got his book Enterprise 2.0, and in that captures a number of case studies and lessons learned that we have engendered from the first couple of years. The second is a book from Marcia Connor called The New Social Learning, and that's interesting because it captures some of our how you measure social media and those kind of things. And the third is a book by Eric Hazeltine, the first ADNI for science and technology. And he looked at it from a neuroscience kind of point of view of how do you affect change. His book is Long Fuse, Big Bang.
Great. What I'll do is I'll take this information and we'll place it at federalnewsradio.com under this interview. So if it's spring of 2011 and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're listening to this interview and you want to get the specifics on these books, I will put them up there. You can find out and move your agenda along by reading as much as you can about social media, social networking. One question I have here, kind of at the end here, where's this heading off to? I mean, you know, I'm sure 15 years ago, your crystal ball didn't say IntelliPedia. Where do you think IntelliPedia is going to head, or where do you think this whole idea of wikis and agencies and secure and secret and top secret, where do you think it's going to head?
I think it's still a journey that we talk about, that it's winning people over one by one. And now we've been, Intellipedia has existed for coming up on 5 years. We've had a number of intelligence community professionals that have entered the community not knowing a community without Intellipedia. And that's significant, because now they realize that there is something out there that they can always have access to, and be able to kind of quickly get up to speed on an issue.
And for myself, I'm particularly interested in, where does this lead us in terms of how people are rewarded for the work that they do? How do you incentivize folks to work? And I'm working personally to see how we can change from an environment where you're rewarded for individual work to one where you can measure and quantify your contributions to teamwork and working collaboratively.
And in virtual teams, too. I mean,
Yes. This
is the aspect here. I mean, you may have people all over the United States or over the world that have to contribute to information about Brazil or about a vertical topic of a certain type of economic development. I mean, there's people in five areas of the world that have to. So virtual teams have to be established as well, don't they?
Right. Absolutely. That's what we're seeing every day. Every time that there's a crisis or any type of event that the intelligence community needs to comment on, we're seeing those virtual teams start creating in Intellipedia, because that has become kind of the one place to go to at least get a broad brush overview of what's happening on that topic.
My guess is if you are in a environment that is a hostile environment and you have a problem you're trying to get the solution to, there may be somebody sitting in Utah that has the answer, and if you act collaboratively, maybe the answer can be achieved quicker than just, I don't know, going to the library and thumbing through an encyclopedia. How's old school is that?
Yeah. It's like, how do you measure impact in the future is what it's for me, because today everything revolves around the impact of your work, but that traditionally in today's world is measured in the right now and the here and the now. How do you imagine someone adding something to Intellipedia that's just a line, it's a reference. Well, it has no value right now, but then 5 years from now, something happens. And because that person 5 years ago had dropped this seemingly innocuous link on this page, it solved a problem 5 years from now. And I want to see if there's a way we can sort of help quantify that so that the person 5 years ago now gets value for that work.
Very difficult, and I think that problem is a challenging problem for people in the commercial world, the federal world, the nonprofit world. I mean, I don't see where that isn't a problem, given the nature of just the social networking today, isn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, we are still struggling with those measures. I mean, we have some measures, initial measures of looking at Intellipedia, of looking at, is it vibrant? Is it social, or is it places where are people engaging with each other in the tool? And then is it relevant? That's good for kind of measuring the value of the tool. But how do we change the reward mechanism to reward those folks that are contributing? Like Don said, something that, something that's, turns out 5 years from now to be really important. How do we go back and kind of reward that individual for that effort that he gave 5 years ago?
It's a difficult topic, and perhaps come back in 6 or 8 months and revisit this. We've run out of time here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we had a little bit of a dive into Intellipedia. We have the two proponents of Intellipedia here. We have Don Burke, who is a doyen, and we have Sean Dennehy, who is Intellipedia's evangelist.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
A bomb exploded at a downtown bus station in Kenya's capital late yesterday as passengers boarded a bus, killing at least one person and wounding more than 39 others. Police say the person who was killed was carrying a piece of luggage that contained the bomb. Most of the wounded were Ugandans traveling home for Christmas. Terrorist group Al-Shabaab is threatened to carry out more attacks against Uganda and Burundi for contributing forces to the African Union, which has soldiers in Mogadishu. I'm J.J. Green.
When you fly over the North Pole, do you ever think about how remote you are? Airink does, and that's why they have it covered. They're the only company in the world that provides high-frequency data links so that pilots can always communicate with someone on the ground. Airink ensures you're never alone at 35,000 feet. For more information and career opportunities, log on to arinc.com.